So today I'm going to change gears a little bit and use some data that comes from mapping, and specifically talk about mapping diabetes-related rates and resources using GIS and secondary data in Michigan. I have no relationships to disclose. The purpose of this project was to map community or county-level diabetes-related rates and resources using publicly available data sources to determine areas in Michigan with low resources and high diabetes rates, and also to demonstrate how this use of maps could be used for program purposes. This was done from work with the Diabetes Partners in Action Coalition and the Michigan Department of Community Health. Working with these groups, it became evident that more needed to be done in being able to target interventions and think about where we wanted to put different interventions across the state, and also to identify counties with higher needs and where we could put more of the energy, given limited resources. Again, this is secondary data. The inclusion criteria for this project was that information had to be available at the county level, be publicly available, and also be web-based. This was done intentionally because we wanted to be able to get information in a very easy manner that others could do at the county to be able to look at their own data or even in other states. Some of the diabetes and demographic measures that were used in the study and fit the inclusion criteria were diabetes prevalence rates by county that was available from the CDC in 2008. We then looked at this by quartiles for Michigan by the standard deviation. Also, obesity prevalence rates, and that's dichotomized. You'll see in one slide as high and low, but we had the prevalence rates. Also, the percent racial ethnic minority population in each county, the percent living below the federal poverty level, and the percent with a high school graduation rate. This is all from the Census Bureau. We had additional information also, but I'm just showing you what is shown in the slides here. For diabetes resource measures, what we identified that fit that inclusion criteria were the following medically, we call them medical-related resources, which were the percent of individuals in Medicare who had diabetes and had an A1C in the last year. This was available from the Dartmouth Atlas of Healthcare. They also worked with the Wisconsin County Health Rankings. You can see it there as well. And that's shown as a percent, as well as the number of endocrinologists for the more complicated cases. This was available from the YouCompare Healthcare web page and was identified in 2010. For community-based resources, the diabetes self-management education programs are available from the American Diabetes Association website. They're also available from the Michigan Department of Community Health website. We looked at actual number, but then we identified that per 100,000 population to adjust for different population sizes in the different counties. We did this also for support groups. Those were available on the website of the Michigan Diabetes Outreach Networks. They were funded by the Michigan Department of Community Health, and unfortunately that funding ended in 2010, so it's going to be a little bit more difficult to get this information going forward, but luckily was available for this analysis. It's important information that's not available very often to know how many support groups are there and how much per population in different areas. The analysis was to look at this graphically. We used ArcGIS 10.2, and I should thank my co-author, Kathy Kattari, because she's my student and the one who actually did the GIS work. We examined the diabetes rates by these quartiles by the four resource measures that I mentioned, the two medical and the two community-based. And then we visually identified counties with the low resources and the higher-than-average diabetes rates. To put Michigan in context with the nation, and you saw this earlier or a similar one, Michigan has mid to high range diabetes prevalence rates across the different counties, and you can see that compared to the nation. And as with the nation, it's increasing. So in this slide, I show you the quartiles from 2008 that we used in this study, but then we place those on the prevalence rates in 2004, 2005, 2006, and 2007. And you can see the increase in the counties that are in the highest two quartiles by 2008 standards as you go across. It's pretty dramatic looking at how many were in the lowest level. And again, this was by standard deviation. There's also a great difference in population density in our state, and this is why we're showing the results per 100,000 population. The northern part of the Lower Peninsula and the Upper Peninsula, or UP and LP, as we say in Michigan, are primarily rural, and the highest population densities are in the southeast part of the state, but in the southern part in general. So let's look at the medical resources by the diabetes rates. These two maps show the A1C, the percent of those receiving an A1C in the last year, the Medicare patients, and that is on your left, as well as the rate of endocrinologists per 100,000 populations in the state. What's important to note is that when you see the large circle, that means a negative. So it's below the mean in those counties. And then again, we're looking for the counties with the mustard color or the red, because those are the two higher or above the mean in diabetes rates for the state in general. So you can look at the A1C and see that it's really spread throughout the state. There's some pockets, especially in the southwest part of the state and also in the east part of the state. And in fact, there was some discussion after showing this information at the Diabetes Partners in Action or Diabetes Partners in Action Coalition that there had been a chronic care model that had been put in place in the west part of the state, and that perhaps that's one of the reasons you're seeing the better outcomes for A1C in some of the western, I'm saying states, counties, I will do that repeatedly, in some of the western counties, and that might account for it, which was an interesting discussion. For endocrinologists, they're primarily in the southeast part of the state, although quite a few in Traverse City area. It's a very high income area, so not surprising. And you see also that there's very little in the way of endocrinologists available in the UP. Again, this is per 100,000 population. When we put the two medical resources together with diabetes rates, we identified four counties that had low medical resources by this definition and higher diabetes rates. Four of those were in the Upper Peninsula, and four of those are in the very south part of Michigan. So then we went on to the community resources by diabetes rates. Same style is used, same legend, so you'll be able to look for those large dots as being negative for community resources in this case. On your left is the rate of diabetes self-management education programs per 100,000 populations, and you see that the Upper Peninsula is doing better, actually, than the Lower Peninsula in those, and that's even more dramatic for the support groups. If you look over at the support groups, there's only one county in the Upper Peninsula that would be considered lower than the state mean there, and that is one with lower diabetes rates. For support groups, there's a lot of work to be done still in the Lower Peninsula, as you can see. Putting those two community-related resources together with high diabetes, we identified those counties that are low in these community-related resources and high in diabetes, and they're primarily they're all in the Lower Peninsula, and there is an interesting corridor going across the southern part of the state as well. Putting this information together, both the medical and the community resources, looking first just at low A1C and low diabetes self-management education programs, we found that there were some clusters of counties, one in the Bay area, Saginaw and Flint, some of you may have heard, which is in Genesee County, in those areas, southeast Michigan, Wayne County with Detroit, and the county below that, Monroe, as well as in the southwest part of the state, Berrien County, which houses one of the most impoverished communities in Michigan, in Benton Harbor, as well as one county in the Upper Peninsula, Berrien. When we put the information together and look at all four, so counties that are low in all four resources and high in diabetes rates, all three of those are located in the southern part of Michigan, Berrien County that I just described, Kalamazoo County that I'm from currently, as well as Monroe County in the southeast corner of the state. So through this project, we were able to identify 21 counties with unfavorable medical resources profiles. 40% of the Upper Peninsula counties had an unfavorable medical resource profile compared to 22% of the Lower Peninsula counties, and 8 of those 21 counties were also high in diabetes rates or higher than the mean. We identified also 46 counties with unfavorable community resource profiles. A very different picture here. Now we have 7% of the UP counties that had low community resources compared to 66% of the Lower Peninsula counties. And of those 46, a lower percent compared to the medical profile were high in diabetes rates. It was 16 of those. Overall, those three counties have been found to be particularly at risk in having unfavorable medical and community resource profiles and high diabetes rates, and they were all in the southern part of the state. And now I just want to quickly show how we can also use this type of information to target interventions. Some of the discussions at the state were the different programs that they want to roll out or pilot and where they want to do it. And often right now it's working by expediency. Who is available? Who do I know who will maybe target or pilot this intervention or who will be able to roll it out? And what we're trying to do is start to use the data to identify places as well. So one example here is if you have a diabetes program that's aimed, and I just use the racial ethnic minority groups together, but obviously you'd want to look at, tailor it to the specific one you're looking at, but have high racial ethnic minority population in a high poverty area if it was aimed at low SES, then you could look at those counties that are colored in purple on your left and go to those counties first and try to do it. Now again, very different. If you look at the Upper Peninsula, that population is fitting this criteria primarily because of Native Americans for the racial ethnic portion of it, compared to the southeast or southwest part of the state that's primarily African American. Shown in green is instead if you have a program that's primarily aimed at weight loss among those with diabetes, again in a lower educational group, then you can look at this demographic data, identify those counties, and see these are some of the counties that you want to target first. So let's try to roll out the interventions there. And that's some of the discussions we're having right now with these different counties of the state. So in conclusion, this showed how you could use public data and mapping tools to identify counties with low and high diabetes-related needs and resources without collecting any additional information, all information that was available on the web, and you can use this to target particular diabetes-related programs. We identified counties with unfavorable resource profiles and high diabetes rates, including 8 with unfavorable medical profiles and 16 with community-based. We also identified through this that the Upper Peninsula had lower medical resources and higher diabetes rates, whereas in southern Michigan is where we saw those three counties that had the low overall resources as well as lower community-based resources and high diabetes rates. And that's it. Thanks.
Great, thank you. I would like to ask our presenters to come to the front to take questions from the audience. I think we have a very interesting story to tell from these presentations for all of those who are working with diabetes prevention and treatment programs. We have four cross-sectional studies describing diabetes profiles. We can draw several lessons, but I will stop here to take questions from the audience. Dr. O'Keefe?
Thank you for those nice presentations. Have any of the researchers supplemented your EPI work with qualitative research that might focus on what are the barriers to better self-management and prevention, and what would make it easier to, or do we just sort of go low-resource, knee-jerk education?
I can speak just from the mapping. We're using this as a start of a discussion. So these data were shown at the Diabetes Partners in Action Coalition meeting, and that's where we started having discussions about what do these really mean, what's going on, why do we see the differences that we see, and there's trying to create regional groups within the state that can start to look at targeting the interventions and the needs in their particular region. So in that way, it's starting a discussion. And they're starting to, because obviously, especially for the data that I showed, it's quite ecological. It's not perfect. It's supposed to be the beginning of a discussion. How does this look? What do we think about this?
Do you have plans to supplement it with qualitative research?
With formal qualitative research?
Not yet.
No, we have already. So that's what we're doing. So right now I'm going around and sharing this talk with different communities within. Another one is there's something called the MSU Extension, which provides nutritional programming in some diabetes
programming, something called Dining with Diabetes and others. So going around to each of these in the different areas, because they're trying to decide in the state, where do we target these programs? Where are we trying to put more of them? What are we doing? What does it mean? So, yeah, I think that through showing this, you end up having conversations, and you end up learning a lot more. For instance, we learned in the Upper Peninsula, they didn't have the medical resources, so they aimed at the support groups and the diabetes self-management education on purpose, because that's what they felt they could do up there, that they weren't as easily going to be able to change the medical resources. But let's someone else talk. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, we are, not for this particular, for the Tai Chi study, it was a mixed method, so we used qualitative focus groups. We used focus group methodology, and we did ask them about barriers to physical activity. Things came up such as time or family responsibility, so we have data on that. We also asked them about stress and how they perceive stress. We asked them about Tai Chi and whether they would want to use something that's not from their culture. So we are using some of that to inform then the randomized part, where we're going to randomize them into Tai Chi versus another type of physical activity. So there are researchers doing that, and there is existing literature looking at focus group methodology, semi-structured interviews with Latinos and African Americans to look at this qualitatively, and like you said, look at the context and how it's not just using the numbers, but seeing how they perceive it, how they feel, and depression, seeing how they have a higher prevalence of depression. People with diabetes are about one third of people with diabetes also have depression. So asking them, what makes you depressed? Is it the disease itself? Because if someone is addressing the disease and it's not disease related, and it's the economy that they can't pay their rent, the idea that, you know, their son just got murdered. We had someone tell the story of, you know, my son was murdered, and that caused me to get into a depression, and that caused my diabetes. So, yeah, it's very important, like you said.
Biju?
So, I only discussed very briefly the intervention that we do at the Finite Urban Health Institute, but it's the community health worker model, and you know, we don't systematically collect any qualitative data there, but I think, you know, the community health workers are in a unique position to really understand the needs of, you know, I guess what I would consider their clients, the people that they're helping that have diabetes. So, you know, whereas we're sort of from a data perspective, they're really like on the ground and working with the people and dealing with the problems that they're facing, the barriers they're facing to taking care of themselves. So, you know, I'm not sure how we might go about that differently in collecting qualitative data, but I do think that there is a better level of understanding of what the real problems are that people face and that are creating barriers to their self-care.
You might especially want to look at the doers versus non-doers, because, you know, everybody says, it's everybody's first answer, why don't you exercise? Everybody says time. But the doers don't have any more time than the non-doers. So one thing we know for sure is that's not the answer.
Just to chime in, we also do a lot of community health worker projects at our center, the Center for the Study of Asian American Health.
Speak up.
We focus all on Asian American populations, but we have a diabetes management program for Bangladeshis, and we've collected a lot of qualitative data from that, from the CHWs, collecting information at the one-on-one sessions. For Bangladeshis, it's very different because a lot of the women, it's not appropriate for them to go out and exercise and there's other things like transportation. People don't know how to use the subways. But we've also collected a lot of focus group data in different communities, all different Asian American communities around New York City. So we do have a lot of information to share.
Any other questions? Please.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'd love to do that and even get into within the county more of zip code.